Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But we are in our third week of our movie series, and the whole point of this series is to take popular movies and pull biblical truth and teachings out of them. And so the first week, we watched Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. We talked about how when we sin, we are not out of God's love and grace, but what God truly wants from you is your heart. And then last week, we watched a clip from Iron Man. We looked at how the main character, Tony Stark, is a billionaire genius who built his money, fame, and wealth on making weapons. But after he was captured, Tony says that what he is doing is wrong. He knows the truth now. His eyes were opened. And so he risks everything to do what is right. And so we looked at how Christians, we are to stand up and do what God has called us to do. It is not always easy. You could lose everything that this world has to offer, but we are to follow God and God alone. And the only thing that truly matters is knowing God personally, because that is our treasure. Having God is our treasure, not what we can gain here and now. And so this week, we're jumping back into the 80s. And so with the movie that we're going to be watching is The Karate Kid. And this was released in 1984, not, you know, the 10 movies after this one. So it's the first one. And so the whole premise of this movie, I want to just throw out here first and foremost. People say to me, whoa, spoilers, this is 41 years old, all right? If you don't know the ending, you're about to get it, and it's gonna be okay, okay? You had some time to get through this. But the whole premise of this movie is that there's this boy named Daniel LaRusso, and his mother has relocated him and her from New Jersey all the way to California for work. And as Danny tries to acclimate to his new school, he has a run-in with a guy named Johnny Lawrence and their gang. And throughout the movie, Johnny makes Danny's life just horrible. It's just the worst. Johnny beats him up on multiple occasions, and he's always running from him. And at one point, it actually looks like Johnny may even go so far as to try and kill Danny. And it leaves Danny just desperate to defend himself. So Danny comes to find out that Johnny's part of a karate dojo, and he's in a tournament champion, and it's part of a school that's called Cobra Kai. And so he goes to Cobra Kai, and he's like, I'm going to learn to defend myself. He sees Johnny there, and he's like, nope, I can't be here. And so Danny needs to find a way to train and defend himself. And this is where we get this unlikely pair-up of Danny and the building maintenance man from their new apartment complex. They befriend each other, and the maintenance man's name is Mr. Miyagi. And so a lot of people have a lot of love for Mr. Miyagi. I love Mr. Miyagi. But what we see here is he trains Danny on how to defend himself if needed. It's not about going out there and just beating people up or being the strongest. It's about defending yourself. And he says, you know what? We're going to enter you into the karate tournament. And so they only have 2 months to make it happen and really teach him. And he learns in some weird ways. If you know, you know. Okay, so wax on and wax off. All right, everybody, you know, paint the fence. You know what I'm talking about if you've seen it. But we get these awesome thing that happened in 80s movies, which is the montage. Okay, where you get them, all the training is happening, and you even have the song, you know, you're the best around, you know what I'm talking about. And so you get like this 38 seconds where you're like, oh, now he's ready, okay? You know, it's so ridiculous and awesome. I love it so much. But finally, Danny, he's ready after the montage, and so he's ready to prove that he can stand up to Johnny. And so if you don't know, though, karate tournaments are not just like a free-for-all, all right? It's not just the let's go fight in the streets. This is a sport. This is a sport that has rules. This is a sport that has regulations. There are people that can be disqualified, and all these different things can happen. So it's not just, oh, go at it and hope for the best. No. So Danny does really well in this tournament, all the way up to the semifinals. At the end of this tournament, he is facing a member of Cobra Kai, and one of the kids from Cobra Kai, he does an illegal hit on Danny's knee, and it really just messes it up. And it's right before the final fight that he's supposed to have with Johnny. And it didn't look like Danny could continue, but then Mr. Miyagi walks in, and I don't know if he's magic or whatever, but all he does is he slaps his hands together and and then he just touches the knee, and then he's like, I'm better. You're like, okay, yeah, that's not how that works. But they totally have that happen. And so Danny is ready for the big fight. So you have Johnny Lawrence versus Danny LaRusso, and that's what we're watching here today. Throughout this whole movie, they make it very clear who is the bad guy and who is the good guy. When Johnny shows up, you get this like dark music. It's like, bah, bah, and he's like, oh, he's here. And then as soon as, you know, Danny shows up, it's like, da-da-da. I'm like, oh, isn't it amazing? And so they make it very clear who is good and who is bad. And so Johnny does some really awful things throughout this movie. And yes, Johnny is in the wrong with so many of his actions. But the truth is, when it comes to people, there are no real good guys or bad guys. Yes, some people choose to do the wrong thing. And yeah, people get hurt, but that does not instantly mean Danny is the good guy because Johnny did wrong. Actually, watching this movie again and going throughout this movie, Danny really isn't the greatest guy either. He does some really awful things to Johnny as well. He screams and swears at his mom and lies to her. He lies and he's mean to the girl that he's trying to win over. He does these things that he's not supposed to do, but he does them anyways. There are two points that we're going to look at today that are very important. And the first one is you have to understand no one is good. We all need God. We all need grace. We all need love. We all need a second chance. And we all need forgiveness. And then if you're someone that actually watches The Karate Kid and has been following it, and so right now they have a show called Cobra Kai. It is brand new and it's been out now. Same people that we're actually looking at here, Danny and Johnny, are all throughout it. And actually, if you're watching the show Cobra Kai, you're going to go, wow, Danny's a jerk. He really is. He's not a good guy, and it's because no one is good. But you actually get some more backstory with this, and I really love that they made an interesting point to show Johnny's side and what happened that made him the way he is. And when you get this backstory, he talks about how he grew up in an abusive house. Johnny was striving for a place to belong. And once he found Cobra Kai Studio, he found something that he was good at and that he was going to strive for perfection. But the sensei or the mentor of that dojo, he led him down this really dark path. So is Johnny a bad guy? Or is it that Johnny has never been shown true love, mercy, care, and forgiveness? And we see even at the end of this clip here, Johnny lost. He just got kicked in the face by a guy that he hates. And what does he do? He gets up and he said, "You did good." And he handed him the trophy. That takes a lot of guts in itself. So maybe it's not as black and white as who is good and who is bad. And that's what we're going to look at today. Let's turn over to Romans 5. We're going to look at Romans 5, verses 1 through 12. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through this life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." So what we're reading here is, the first part is talking about how God saved us from us. Okay, from yourself. We are our greatest enemy. We like to make our decisions. We have desires that we want to give into. And what it's saying here is God saved you from you. His blood, his sacrifice, his grace, that is what makes you clean. And because of our faith that we have in this life, no matter what happens, we will persevere. We will sing all the greater how God is amazing no matter what happens to us on this earth, because we know how awesome he is. And then we get this switch over, though, in these verses. And it's almost like okay, you understand this part, but God did not do this because you were deserving or you were good. It actually says the opposite of that. That God showed us how much he loves us, that while we were being awful, while we were hurting God, while we were pushing him away, while we were hating him, it says that's the moment that God looked at us while we were the bad guy, and he said, "I'm going to die for you. I'm actually going to show you love, and I'm going to save you." And that's spelled out again in verse 10. It says, "While you were God's enemy." Think about how strong that word is. While you were God's enemy. And if you think you're the good guy when it's you and God, you're wrong. Okay? You're not the good guy in this scenario here. You were his enemy, And you were the one not living for what's right. And so if the verses were not clear enough, that definitely spelled it out. And it says that he worked to restore our relationship with him. And then verse 12, one more time at the end, it says, because all have sinned. We all have fallen short. So who is the bad guy and who's the good guy? We like to draw those lines. We like to say, well, there's got to be a distinct good guy and bad guy, right? And we want to put that line where we think it fits. People that we see that are doing wrong, yeah, they're doing wrong. But that does not mean we are to look down on them. We're not to beat them down. We're not to destroy them. Yes, we need to stand up for truth. Yes, we need to stand on God's commands in our lives. But flat out, you have to understand first and foremost, you are not better than anyone else. You are not more deserving of God's love than anyone else. You are not the one who gets to decide the truth being shared of Jesus Christ. And there truly is a right way and a wrong way to deal with sin in other people's lives. And the first and biggest one we have to know is not to tell them, you're going to hell for your sins. Good luck. That's not what it's supposed to be. Because you're not wrong. That they're not accepting of Jesus has separated them from God. And that means that if they do not accept Jesus, that there will be a judgment someday. And we'll have a judgment as well. But you have to understand, again, it is not your decision to make. It is not your say. It is not your call. And thank God it's not our call. Thank God I'm not the one that gets to decide who is good enough. That's not for me to make that decision. Actually, we do have a call on our life. We have something that we're supposed to be doing, but it's not this. It's not telling people, well, you're separated from God. You're a sinner. You're going to hell. You have to know we've all fallen short. We've all missed the mark. But that's not the end of the story. If you're a follower of Christ, then you know what Jesus has done for you while you were an enemy to him. You know what God's love looks like, and we are called to act on it. We are called to live that out. And so we're going to read this in 1 John 4. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 21. 1 John 4, 7 through 21. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." So it's kind of repeating over and over again. Flat out, when we love people, we're showing God. And that's because God is love. Now we have to clarify what this means, because we have a huge confusion in this country of what the word love means, okay? Love is not full acceptance of all actions, okay? That's not how that works. Because we have this thought process, if you love me, then whatever I do is fine. That's not true. Because even if you're just looking at this movie here, The Karate Kid, Johnny did awful, awful things. He was terrible to Danny, and he was very dangerous. Those things were not okay for him to do. But that does not mean that we should not love Johnny. That's not actually at all what that means. This line always rocks me in verse 10. It says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us first. He sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." This should be how Christians act to everyone. People who hate you. People who want nothing but bad things for you. people who disagree with the Word of God and disagree with you, we are not to hate them. Imagine if we changed the way that we treated these people who hated us. What if we truly cared about them? What if we helped them? What if we loved them through their hate? Because that's what changed the world. The love that God did for us by sending His Son, Jesus, is what changed the world. It wasn't God hating us. It wasn't God giving us the business end. It wasn't God taking out a sword and just cutting us all in half and saying, "This is justice." That's not what happened. He didn't belittle us. He didn't try to hurt us. He showed us love when we didn't deserve it, and it was for everyone. And what He did was He showed us love, and then He led us. He showed us what is right, what is wrong, and how we should be living, and what is good for us, and to glorify Him, to help us with our struggles. He gives us this word right here, which is the most amazing encouragement. If you read this Bible here, if you read this book, and you go, "All this does is beat me down," then I want to talk to you. The leadership wants to talk to you, because we want to show you that this is not to beat you down and control you. This is actually to make you free. This is to help you, to encourage you, to show you what is actually good. He wants to show us what's best for us, and He does all of these amazing and awesome things for you specifically. We need to stop playing judge, jury, and sometimes executioner. And we need to realize we're all broken people. And we have to accept that some of us know the truth. And when we know the truth, we have to share it with those who do not have it. We have to make sure that while they are far from God, hating God and hurting people, that we can share the truth to help change their lives. So we're going to do one last group of verses from Romans 12. So we're going to go back to Romans 12. And that'll be verses 9 through 21. Romans 12, 9 through 21. I was like, those aren't the verses. I'm in Corinthians. That'll mess things up. Romans 12, 9 through 21. It says, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, I've done this group of verses before, and I love these verses, and I've been told that my visual of verse 9 has helped some people, and we'll get to that in a second, but it starts off very simple. Love must be sincere. That means not lip service. You can't be punching somebody in the face and say, "I love you so much." Okay, that's not how that works. All right, you can't be backstabbing someone and saying, "I think you're just the best. I love you so much." No, that's not what it means. It's actually showing through your actions that you love them. And then it says, we are to hate what is evil and cling to what is good. So here's where we get this visualization that I've come up with that people have brought up to me later. And I said, I love that word cling. And for some reason, it always makes me think of a baby koala bear. All right, if you've never seen a baby koala bear on its mama, all right, that bad boy is holding on, all right? It's like a strap. It's a backpack that's never going anywhere, all right? And so I've seen them in documentaries. I've even seen them at the Columbus Zoo when they had the baby there, and that baby is just attached. There's nothing you can do. So the mom is crawling up a 100-foot tree, and that baby's holding on for life. You know, mom over there is eating food right over the baby. Food's falling on the baby's head. It doesn't care. It's clinging on for dear life. And so what we have here is this baby is not letting go. And that's what we are supposed to do with God. Cling to God. Hang on to Him. Stop trying to do everything yourself. You have God right here with you. And instead of just grabbing a hold of Him and saying, "God, nothing is going to pry me off of you," we decide, "I got this," and we walk the other way. But we're like baby koalas. We're open to everything to destroy us. We have to hold on to God and never let go. You need to pray to Him. That means to talk to Him. Talk to Him like you know He's right there listening. You need to read His words right here that we have. They're here to help us, to guide us, to love us, encourage us. We need to worship Him. You need to have Him in your thoughts. You know, all the time we hear that you got to have God in your mind running through it. And I said this at first service. I'm going to say it again. It just reminds me of a cheesy pickup line. Hey, God, are you tired? Because you've been running through my mind. You know, like, I don't know why that's where that goes in my head, but I'm just like, God, you're always there, right? You're always running through my mind, God. But seriously, that's something that should always be at the front. He should be on your heart, pulling at your heartstrings. You should be like, you know what? God just is telling me and pulling me, and I can feel it, and it's because I'm clinging to Him. And then we get what we're supposed to do with people. But you have to understand the clinging to God first is the most important part. When we try to go and love on people, and it's not what God wants us to do, we do it wrong. And that's why it's so important, go to God first. See how He loves people. And you know why that's so important? You may not like to hear this, but people are hard to love. That's just the truth. All of us, we all have at some point hurt someone. We all have made it hard to love us. And that's because we're selfish, we're greedy, we want what we want, and man, we are really good at ticking each other off. We know what buttons to press. We know what to say to get under someone's skin. And guess what? God gets it. He understands. He understands how you're feeling. And that is why God says, I know how to deal with people. He's been doing it since the beginning. Those first people He created, He was like, what are you doing? He knows. And He's been working on it ever since. And God says, I know how to truly love people. And God's saying, follow my example. Follow my way. And then we get these verses that we don't like to read. It says, those who persecute you, those people who hurt you, it says, bless them and do not curse them. Bless them. That doesn't say, well, just ignore them. Write them off. Kick them out of your life. No, it says, bless these people. Now, that's not handing them a $20 bill and saying, thank you for persecuting me. Okay, that's not what that means. It means to still show them kindness. That means to still share the good news of God and Jesus with these people who are hurting you, and to not persecute them back, to not beat them down. And verse 17, it just reiterates that point. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. And this is all of our words and all of our actions. And I'm not sure why we think tearing someone down or getting even is going to make things better. There are so many people that got their revenge, and you ask, and how do you feel? Are you free now? Well, no. It's because it doesn't fix anything. It doesn't actually work. And as a follower of Christ, knowing that there's an all-powerful God, who is an all-knowing God, do we really think that we could judge accordingly? That's a silly thought process. Well, I know what they've done. I know their heart. And so I will be the judge of them. No, you have no clue what's going on in their heart, in their minds, in their lives. Do we also really think that we are the ones that are going to get justice? Is there anything that we can do to have true justice for what others have done? No. Verse 19 flat out says, do not take revenge. Do not repay that evil for evil. Do not worry about the horrible thing that they are doing, because one day they will have to answer to God. They will have to answer to God. And so will you. And so I always think about it with my own children. So when I ask my kids this question, and what did you do to your sibling? Because I get that, oh, they did this to me, and they did that to me. They took this, they took that. And I'm like, and what did you say or do back? Well, after he punched me, I threw a remote control at his head. What? And I'm like, what do you want me to do here? Because guess what? You are no longer innocent. You are no longer blameless. You have just given sin for sin. And what did it solve? Nothing. And now you're both just angry and filled with this hate towards each other. And it's because you think you're going to get revenge. You think you're going to have justice. But it doesn't work that way. We need to live as an example, as people who are saved and loved by an amazing God. And I've only ever actually seen this happen a few times in my life, but those times have been incredible. And my favorite example was from a church plant on the west side of Cleveland. So when I was working in Cleveland and I was at a church there, we would go and help other churches. And so we went to this west side, and every single Sunday, they would have to make sure that all the equipment was set up the day before. So Saturday nights, they would go to this school that they were renting out to make sure that they were ready to go for the next day. And so Saturday nights was a huge ordeal with these trailers and all the equipment and all the chairs and all the stuff needed moved in. And so one Saturday, they were going to bring their stuff over. They looked in their trailers and everything was stolen. They lost it all. It was tens of thousands of dollars worth of equipment. And so what they did was they reported it to the police, and the local news station got a hold of it, and they wanted to interview the minister. And so they put the minister on live TV on the news, and they asked him this question. So what do you have to say to these people that stole everything that the church had? And he responded this way: I want you to know, whoever did this, we love you, and so does God. And he says, if you need help, which we think you do, because you seem desperate enough to take all of these things, he says, please reach out to us. He gave a couple ways to contact the church and himself right there on the air. And he said, if you could return our items, that'd be awesome, so we can keep bringing the word of God. That would be a wonderful thing. But I want you to know, if you return these things, we will not be pressing any charges. He says, all we want to do is help you. When I saw that, I remember that clip going around. I was like, oh man, they are living as followers of Christ. They were hurt, so hurt, but they were showing God's love to these people who hurt them. I want to let you know, they never got their stuff back. It never happened that way. It's not like someone came forward and they forgave them and they're like, look at this amazing story. This is awesome. Their redemption. It's so great. But someone did step up and help them buy more equipment. But more importantly, they showed God's love right there on television for anyone who was watching. Anybody in the Cleveland area that was watching the news that night got to see what God's love looks like. Even though you're hurting me, I'm still going to love you. And that brings me to the challenge for this week. There are no good guys and bad guys. This week, this month, when you come across someone who's being mean, who's doing horrible things to you, who's hurting other people, I want you to show them that God is good. Show them that God is love. And love them as God has loved you. Remember, once you were an enemy of God. And what did God do when you were an enemy of His? He loved you, He forgave you, and He showed you the truth. And that's what we are to do for others.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from Lead Minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.